chapter number 26.
Amen. I read this a few weeks ago, and just in my Bible reading, and there were some things that kind of stood out to me, and I've been going back and forth and kind of studying in this chapter a little bit, and the Lord's kind of showed me some things that have helped me, and I hope tonight that they can help you as well. But we're right there in Genesis chapter number 26, and I'm going to pray before I get into reading the text, because there's so much here. We're going to read nearly the entire chapter tonight, and so I'm just going to take my time with it, and we're going to look into God's Word and see what truths we can get from it and how God would help us tonight. Amen? But let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for everybody You've brought out to Your house safely tonight. And God, I pray that You'd bring them back safely to their homes this evening. And God, I pray that You'd help us tonight, that You'd meet with us, Lord, that Your Son might be glorified, magnified, honored, praised, Lord, for who He is, God. And Lord, I pray that You would just reveal Yourself to us through the Scriptures. And Lord, help, Lord, through Your Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, just point Your finger at the things in our lives that we need help with, Father, Lord, that we might be strengthened together, Lord, as a brethren, Father, Lord, Lord, just to fight the devil and to further be equipped to handle the task at hand, and God, what You'd have for us. And Lord, I believe You have a job for this church, and I believe that there's greater things ahead, Father. And Lord, we need Your help, we need Your wisdom, we need Your guidance. And Lord, it's not going to come from me, but it has to come from You. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would have His way tonight in this place, and God, that You'd be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Genesis chapter number 26, we spent a few weeks ago on Sunday nights, we've been in Hebrews chapter number 11, and we spent a little bit of time talking about Jacob and talking about Abraham and talking about Esau and these things. And Abraham has gone home to be with God in chapter number 25. Abraham has given up the ghost and he has died, and we find the birth of Jacob and Esau and these other things leading into this chapter. And in chapter number 26 of Genesis, the narrative seems to shift a little bit. It seems to focus on a different setting or a different thing that is going on in the lives of these people. And it's regarding this famine that we find. And I want us to look in here tonight at Genesis 26 and find some truths. And I won't preach for a long time tonight, but I do believe that there are some things in here that can help us. And I'm not going to reveal the title of my message tonight until we get a little bit further into the text. Amen. But I want us to read what the Bible says in Genesis in chapter number 26 and verse number 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in all thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the first thing that I want us to notice from this portion of the chapter that we've read is Isaac's obedience. Isaac's obedience to God. If you're familiar with the earlier part of the book of Genesis, and what we found is that Abraham has experienced famine before. Abraham has been in this very same place before, but Abraham chose to leave the Canaan land and to go southward into the land of Egypt. He found himself in a whole lot of trouble. He wound up telling a lie that got him in a little bit of trouble, and he got kicked out of Egypt, and he got sent along his way. But we found that God was displeased with what Abraham did in Egypt, and so this time around, when the famine comes to the land of God, when the famine comes to Isaac, the son of Abraham, God is very quick to warn Isaac not to go into Egypt. He tells him not to go into Egypt, but rather he tells them to go down and to dwell among the Philistines in the land of Gerar, where he will feed him there and where he will nourish him there. Now, some truths that I believe that you and I can gather practically from what we've found here with the experience that Abraham had with God and that Isaac had with God is that truth is still truth no matter who you are. Amen? What worked for Daddy is going to work for you. What worked for Papa is going to work for you. What worked for his daddy is going to work for you. It does not change with the culture. It does not change with the times. It is not relevant to what is going on in the outside world, but the things of the spiritual man are not discerned naturally. The natural man cannot discern the spiritual things. And these truths are founded. They are written in our hearts. They are foundational. Before the world even began, God's word was settled in heaven, and it never changed. And so God tells Isaac, he says, I made your dad a promise. I made Abraham a promise, and I'm going to keep that promise to him, and I'm going to fulfill that promise through you. Remember, Isaac was the promised son. Isaac was the promised seed. And because Isaac would have to get up and move out of that land and go to that place where God would tell him so that he could feed his family, that did not change the promise. Amen. That did not change God's plan. See, a lot of the modern theological systems of today, they almost present God as if he's a plan B type of God. And what I mean by that is that God had to reconcile a bunch of things with man, and that God had to change a bunch of things, and that God had to take a bunch of different directions. It's a, well, if this would have happened and if that would have happened, God, before the foundations of the world, knew every single act that would ever transpire from the beginning to the end. God, not only at creation, saw you and I, but he saw the consummation of the heaven and the earth in the end of times, when that God would save us unto himself and give us a new heaven and a new earth. He knew all those things that would happen. God has never had a plan B. God has never had a different direction. God has never offered more than one choice to people and said, well, you just kind of find your own truth. It's common today among people. It's just, it's whatever will keep someone comfortable. They'll say, well, if what's true to you might not necessarily be true to me. People will say that, but that is not the case. There is one truth. There is one way. There is one life. There is one way to heaven, one salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have deliverance from our sins, and we are able to obey God. We're able to love God. We're able to know God. We're able to see God. We're able to feel God. And it's not just some God who's attainable through this religion and through that religion. No one ever got saved by calling on the name of Muhammad. No one ever got saved by calling on the name of Buddha. No one ever got saved through Hinduism and through all these things. But rather, what is true for them in the Bible now, or what was true for them then, is true for us today. Amen? Amen. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And God tells Isaac, he said, I've made these promises to you. I made these promises to your father. And Isaac was obedient. Isaac listened to God. And in verse number 6, the Bible says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Isaac's obedience was displayed in this text. But there's something else we find in the text following. Amen. We find Isaac's obstruction. Isaac's obstruction. The Bible says this. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, keep that in the back of your mind for a moment, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Does this sound familiar to you guys? Does this sound like something else that you've heard before? Does this sound like another story you've heard before? Because Abraham did this same thing twice. Abraham did this to Pharaoh when that first famine came and he went down into the land of Egypt. He told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister so that they wouldn't kill Abraham to take her, and he lied. See, many people, you know what the flesh wants for us to do oftentimes? You know what the flesh wants us to do? It wants us to find the silver lining in our sin. It wants us to justify our sin, and it wants us to say, well, if you tell this lie, it's going to save you a lot of heartache. It's going to save you a lot of trouble. It's going to save you a lot of pain. And what you do is you sow yourself into this web of lies and your web of sin, and immediately surely one day it'll all come crashing down on you. That's how sin works. That's how it works. See, Abraham lied. God judged him for it. Not only did Abraham lie to Pharaoh, he lied to Abimelech. He told these same people he's deceived. He told this very same lie to these people. Bob Jones used to say, it's never wrong, or it's never right to do wrong to do right. Amen. Many a days people, what they want to do is they want to cut corners in their Christianity. Amen. They want to cut corners in their life. They want to live for God, but they want to do it in such a way that it's the most convenient to them. And if that means a little bit of sin, then that's okay with them. Amen. That's the Christianity that many people live today. And the reason that I call this Isaac obstruction or Isaac's hindrance is God did not bless him until he confessed that sin. You say, where do you see that? It's right here in the text. And the Bible says in verse number 12, after Isaac's already confessed to this, he said, listen, I thought you were going to kill me. I thought you were going to take Rebekah. I thought this was going to happen. I did it because I was scared. I did it because I was fearful. He confesses his sin. He gets right before man and he gets right before God. And in verse number 12, the Bible says this, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Isaac has been in this land, what did the Bible say? What did I tell you to keep in the back of your mind? A long time. Isaac's been here a long time and he ain't been blessed. I'm sure there were days Isaac would question. He'd say, well, this isn't much better than the famine I left. What am I doing here? It's because he had sin in his life that he hadn't repented for. It's because he had things between him and God that he hadn't gotten right, and God knew it, and God was not going to bless Isaac until he got those things right. And God gets right, and what happens? The very next verse, the same year, what happens to him? Received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He got 100 times what he'd been getting from the ground. In all the time that he had spent there, in all the time that he had dwelt in the land of Gerar, God had withheld those blessings because Isaac wasn't willing to let go of that sin. Many of us in our lives, if we just let go of the sin in our life, get right before God, get right with our neighbor, get right in the church house, God would open the windows of heaven and pour those blessings out on us. God wants to bless His children. God wants to take care of us. God wants to see us happy in Him, glorifying Him. God gets no joy from our sorrow. But sometimes it's necessary that we're kept in a place of small rations, that we're kept in a place where the blessings of God are 100 times less than what they could be, because God is saying, you've got to get this right. The chastisement of the Lord is a real thing. I believe Isaac was experiencing that. So we've seen that he was obedient, but also we've seen his obstruction. The Bible says, and the man waxed great, in verse number 13, and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. And here's where we begin to see Isaac's opposition. Isaac's opposition. God gets to blessing Isaac, and wouldn't you know it, the devil's going to throw the kitchen sink at him, isn't he? The devil's going to do everything that he can to wipe this thing out, to knock this thing out. And the Bible says in verse number 15, I want you to see, the Bible says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. See, Abraham had been here before. Abraham had made a covenant with Abimelech. If you go back in your Bible and you read regarding the peace of the people of Abraham and the peace of the Philistine people, and he built these wells and he called that place Beersheba. There was a place of the oath. There was a place of blessing. And all those wells that Abraham had digged, the Philistines had no respect. They just chucked dirt in them. They just filled them back up. They could care less about that oath. They could care less about that covenant that Abraham made with those people. And Isaac sees this, and I imagine that his heart is broken. The Bible says in verse number 16, "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." That's jealousy. God got to blessing Isaac. Now, Abimelech, he didn't see God bless Abraham this way, but he sees God blessing Isaac this way, and he sees it happening on the land where his people are, and he says, "You got to go. You got to get out of here." And he starts to face this opposition, and Isaac had done nothing wrong. Isaac was just following God, remember? Isaac just went where God told him to be. Isaac got right with God. He confessed his sin. He's doing everything that he can. And now the Philistines want to run him off. Abimelech wants to run him off. We see the opposition in Isaac's life. And the Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." He says, "I'll do what Dad did." He said, "I'm gonna rebuild those altars." He said, "I'm gonna dig those wells back up. I'm gonna name them by the same names. I'm just gonna do what I know is right to do." Let me tell you something, friend. If you do what you know is right to do, if you really and truly in your heart purpose to do right and serve God and live an honorable, Christ-honoring life, you're going to have some opposition. Amen. You're going to have some pushback. Because let me tell you something, friend, the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like any of you, and he doesn't like anything that we're in here tonight doing. And he's going to fight with everything that he can, anything that's pleasing to God. Isaac, he sets up these wells, he digs them up, he gives them the same names. And the Bible says in verse number 19, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well springing of water." They've been digging these wells, and finally they dig that well and they find that springing water and that fresh water. And my friend, if you've ever had spring water before, wave at me if you had spring water before, fresh water from the ground. That stuff tastes good. And you want to talk about a rewarding day? They dug all day. They've been digging out those wells. They've been looking for those springs. They've been out in the sun digging. They didn't have backhoes. Amen. The Hebrews weren't traveling with big old Cats and DeWalt and things like that and power tools. They didn't have any of that stuff. They're digging with sharp metal, and they're digging with sticks, and they're digging with rocks, and they're doing everything they can to beat down through that dirt and scoop out as much of it as they can, and they're having to barricade with buckets, and they're having to throw all these things and make assembly lines, if you will. And this was a lot of hard work they were doing, and they finally get down to that spring where that water is, and they get a first drink of that cool water, that spring water. They get some of that, and what happens? The devil gets back on them. The opposition's right there back again. And the Bible says, "And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him." That word Esek, that name Esek rather, it means contention. It means strife. It means not only were they upset, not only were they jealous, but they hated Isaac. They hated these people, much the way the world hates the people of God. And let me say this tonight, friend. The world is going to try and extort the people of God and get everything out of them that they can. Amen. They don't want to live right. They don't want to live holy. They don't want to submit themselves before God. But they'll take the blessings from it. They'll reap the benefits if they can. That's our water. We know you did all the work. We know you did all those things, but that's our water. I know this country was founded upon Christian principles, and it was created by men of God of old. And I know all these things, but we're done with all that. We've got what we want now. We've got our freedom. We're just going to take as much of it as we can get. They'll milk it for all it's worth. And these people, these worldly heathen, they robbed these people. All that hard work, all that time in the sun, all the sweat on their brow, all the toil, all that heartache and all the blisters on their hands was for nothing. Isaac says, we're going to dig another well. We're just going to keep on digging. Amen. I thought about titling this message, Well, Well, Well. But I think a better title for it will be Just Keep Digging. Just keep digging. Amen. They named the well Esek because they strove with him. I imagine those men and their families, they're angry. They're there with Isaac, and they got their children by their side and their wife by their side, and their hands are bloody and blistered, and they're tired and they're hungry because they had to leave all those crops and to get out of that land. And they said, what are we going to do now, Isaac? What's your plan now? He says, we're going to keep digging. We're going to dig us another well. And the Bible says, and they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. That word Sitna means strife. It means they got to digging again, they got to working again, and that opposition showed up again, didn't it? Yep. They came to fight, they came to attack it, they came and they wanted it, and they had no reason to. Abraham had made this covenant with Abimelech for these people years ago. They had no reason to extort these people and to hate these people the way that they did, but they did. Amen. You know what Jesus told his disciples in the New Testament? He says, if they hate you, remember they hated me first. We're going to be hated without a cause. We're going to be despised. We're going to be outcast. Mm-hmm. We're going to be looked upon and laughed at to scorn. But just keep digging. Just keep working. Mm-hmm. Just keep doing what you know is right. What this book says. Amen. They strove for that well also. And he removed from thence. I imagine he's pretty disheartened right about now, wouldn't you say? I imagine he's pretty upset right about now. All this work, finding that water, digging those wells, all for nothing. And they removed from thence, and the Bible says, and they digged another well. They digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. What happened? They kept their nose to the grindstone. What happened? They kept doing what they knew was right. Even though there was opposition, even though there was people that hated them, even though there was people that was going to steal from them and take things from them and try and extort them any way they could, they just kept pressing on. They just kept digging. They just kept doing what they knew was right. And God says, I'm going to make some room for you. Amen. I like what the Bible says right there. It says, for the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. He said, preacher, I feel like the devil's punching bag. I feel like I can't get ahead. I feel like I can't win in this thing. I feel like I'm drifted out in the sea and I just keep getting further and further away. I feel like I'm out here by myself. I feel like there's no one I can turn to. I feel like there's no one around me. What do you think's going on, preacher? God might be making some room to bless you. Amen. You might have been too close to that wickedness. You might have been too close to those people. You might have been too close to the Philistines to get blessed. But God has brought you out to your own place where he can clear him off a spot. And he can dump the windows of heaven out upon you, and he can bless you. That's oftentimes how it happens. Right before the blessing comes, the devil's going to fight how any way he can. My dad used to always say, there's no such thing as a fair fight. Ain't that the truth? The devil's not going to fight fair. He's going to trick. He's going to deceive. He's going to steal and kill and destroy everything that he can. But just keep digging. Just keep digging. Listen to me, friend. I say these words tonight because I know from experience, because I've been in the position that somebody in here tonight might be in. I've been there before, and I know, and I've had those same words told to me, and I've had that same message expressed to me, and I've thought to myself, that's a lot easier said than done. And you're right, it is a lot easier said than done. But I've known it to be true. Just keep seeking God. Mm-hmm. Just keep being faithful to church. Just keep praying. Just keep seeking the Lord. And God will get you out to a place where he can bless you. We saw Isaac's obedience and his obstruction and his opposition, but we see his offer. Lastly, verse number 22, the Bible says, "And he removed from thence and digged another well." We see Rehoboth, he gave him that well. "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba." Remember Beersheba? Where Abraham made that altar, where Abraham dug that well, where Abraham made that covenant with Abimelech. "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Isaac found everything he was looking for. All those promises God had kept making to Isaac. He said, "I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bring you to your own place." He's brought him down here to Beersheba. That's a pretty significant place if you look in your Bible. That's not the last time we hear that name, certainly. Amen. It's still today one of the biggest cities in Israel. It was a place of refuge for God's prophets. It was one of the first people. It was one of the first places where the people of Judah, when they came back from captivity, it's one of the first places they went back to and started to build. It was a place of refuge. It was an established place for the people of God. Those people that were promised through Abraham to this man Isaac. Hey, God made good on His promises, didn't He? God came through. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, just hear me out. God's going to take care of you. Amen. God's going to keep His Word. God's going to make good on His promises. He always, always does. Look at all the blessings God gave to Isaac. Look at everything God did. Sometimes it's got to get worse before it gets better. Sometimes the devil and his followers and all the hell is just going to throw the kitchen sink at you so God can prepare you for the blessing to come. Just keep digging. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around but me. There might be some Christians in here tonight say, "Preacher, I'm digging. And it feels like I've been digging a while. It feels like that's all I do is dig and dig and dig and dig and dig." Just keep digging, friend. Maybe you want to come to the altar tonight and get a hold of God and pray. But just keep digging. Maybe you're in here tonight and you got sin in your life. You got something standing between you and God, like Isaac's lie that he had said to Abimelech about his wife, about Rebecca. Maybe it's time tonight that you repent of your sin, that you get clean before God, that you clear the air, that you get these things out of the way so that God can bless you, so that God can guide you, so that God can direct you. God's a holy God and He won't tolerate sin. Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, "Preacher, God's been telling me something and I'm having a hard time being obedient. He's been telling me where to go. He's been telling me what to do, but I've been stiff-necked. I've been hard-hearted. God's been calling me to work in a ministry in the church. God's been calling me to preach the gospel. God's been working on my heart," whatever it might be. You might be in here tonight. You want to come to the altar and say, "God, help me just to be obedient." Keep digging, church. Keep digging, Christian. Sir, ma'am, husband, wife, father, mother, grandpa, grandma, keep digging. Keep digging. Might be in here tonight, and if you're honest, you don't know that you've ever been saved. You don't know if you die tonight whether you're going to wake up in hell or go to be with the Lord. You have no idea. You're just not certain. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing's changed. Still the same gospel. He's still the same Savior. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, I invite you to come to this altar tonight. bow before God, profess Him as Lord. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If that's you in here tonight, I invite you to come.